You're listening to KTWH LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, Minnesota. Stay tuned. What's coming up next is What's Happening with Krista Olson, our community ed director, followed by Kenny Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits, all happening between 9 and 9:30. Thanks for listening. And one quick note, our music for What's Happening this week is Peter Ostrushko's music from Sacred Heart. He is a music legend who passed on just a few days ago. So enjoy Peter's music right now. That was Peter Ostrushko, Tatiana's Lament. And you're listening to What's Happening on KTWH 99.5 FM. This morning I have Krista Olson calling in. Krista is the new community ed director here in Lake County. Thank you so much, Krista, for being with us this morning on KTWH.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I know that probably like many people, I have met you, but it's mostly been online and virtually. So I'm really looking forward to COVID ending so that we can meet for real. But
yes.
Why don't you share with us a little bit about how you came to be the new community ed director at Two Harbors? Or sorry, Lake County. I know you're not just Two Harbors.
Sure. Well, I don't know how far back you want me to go.
I know you've been in Grand Rapids before this, and so maybe telling us from there.
Sure. I was actually in Aiken before this. I grew up in Nisswa, went to Brainerd High School, started a teaching career down in Stillwater, moved back to the Brainerd Lakes area, continuing with my teaching degree in Crosby as a third grade teacher. Decided to go into administration, met my husband around that time, got married, moved up to Reamer to become a assistant principal at the K-12 building there.
Oh.
And then with young kids, decided administration and just wasn't the right fit for me at that time. There was a Dean of Students opening and community ed director in Aiken, the community we lived in. So I applied for that and had to take just a couple classes to get my community ed director's license. Some communities, you can use your superintendent license. We were like 50 people over the population for me to use my superintendent license. So just a couple of classes and had my community ed director's license and really enjoyed that aspect of it. I enjoy writing, and there's a lot of grant writing involved with community education.
Yeah.
And a full-time position became available in Crosby for just community ed, not any type of education administration. So I applied for that and got the full-time position and really got to start exploring what community ed is and working with businesses and promoting local businesses. Loved it. Did a lot of age-to-age work at that time, intergenerational community building and programming. Had met my predecessor from up here in Two Harbors, Chris Langbrunner, through age-to-age and found out that she was retiring. And just kind of did some not very serious inquiries about her position and kind of what she did up here. Found out that she goes back and forth between Silver Bay and Two Harbors. Love the area up here. Of course, there's nothing to not like about it. I grew up on a lake, so being next to Lake Superior is just amazing. And after applying, I just got offered something I couldn't turn down. So I moved, I took the position in July of 2020 and lived with my sister in Duluth for a little bit. And then we just purchased a home in Two Harbors in November.
Wonderful. Well, welcome. So glad you managed to purchase a home and make this your nesting place, at least for now. And of course, it just always warms our hearts to hear that Two Harbors is a desirable place to live. We sure think it is. Is there some special, as far as the community education, clearly you've looked at it from several different angles and worked in education from all kinds of angles. What is it that appeals to you about community ed and even the Two Harbors program in particular? You mentioned Age to Age, which is, of course, music to our ears because Age to Age is something we promote all the time here.
Yeah. You know, I really love the community aspect of community education. And I know that might sound a little cliche, but I really enjoy working with local businesses, learning about the community, how to help promote the community, how to inspire local people to tap into their hobbies and interests. And I really love the grant writing aspect of it and how can I use those skills to help promote activities within the community and just build a better community.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's so, I love the sort of notion that education is a lifelong thing, and so you should have a lifelong way to access education, and that all of us are potential teachers in this town, and so what do we like to teach about? And I know Chris has always been very curious about anything, and oh, maybe that's an opportunity for a class, or maybe that's an opportunity for a class, and just my little contact with you is very similar, that you're just really interested in people of this community and what we might have to offer. So thank you for that. Are there any specific initiatives that you want to highlight right now? I know that starting during COVID could not have been the easiest thing, and maybe things are a little slow to get organized on your end. I don't know.
Well, I have to say, it's actually been extremely busy. Right when I came on, I started grant writing for our Little Mariners Child Care program that we were trying to get up and running in our Silver Bay location at William Kelly School. So that is a daycare within the school setting. So 6 weeks all the way up to preschool-aged kids that we were trying to get open. So I ended up writing multiple grants, hundreds of thousands of dollars in order to get that up and running. Very excited. I have an amazing coordinator up there, Carissa Gurdian, who is just, you know, jumped on the boat full force ahead and got it up and running. We opened in January. We also started a Kids and Company location up there. For those of you in Two Harbors, you might be familiar with Kids and Company as our before and after school program.
Yep.
And so we decided to open a location up there. So really up in Silver Bay, we're kind of a one-stop place for everyone for educational and child care needs from 6 weeks all the way through, you know, you can be in Kids and Co. up and, you know, under the age of 12. Mm-hmm. And I really should say before 6 weeks, because from birth to age three, we have our ECFE program. Kim Lenski is the early childhood coordinator. Does an amazing program both at Two Harbors and Silver Bay. So it's been really busy just trying to get everything up and going, getting our preschool classes expanded. Community ed really brings in revenue through preschool and summer programming. And even though we're nonprofit, you need to be able to bring in revenue in order to expand programming. And that there's so many awesome opportunities in this area just from the little amount I've been able to get out and get about and speak with people. There's just so many people that are talented that have things they want to share and programs we want to get up and running. So trying to be able to bring in that revenue and expand programming is definitely on the forefront moving forward and trying to just expand what we can offer for community ed. And then, of course, just getting out and meeting business owners. How can I help promote local business? Something that I really enjoy doing is going and meeting with a business owner. Let's say maybe it's a local ballet class or something like that. And being able to run just a beginner class through Community Ed, maybe at a reduced rate, so people can try it out and see if they're really interested or like it. Then if they enjoy it, then I send them on to that business and help promote that business, and they can continue learning from that point on. So I really enjoy getting to know where can I help out in the community, where can I expand business for people and promote business and create that lifelong education.
Hmm. Yes, and you mentioned that you love to write, and grant writing, I'm sure, is a huge part of it, and especially in the world where today, where that's one of the main ways we communicate is via writing and making our case from written words. So I'm so glad that that's something you enjoy. I know it's not something that everybody looks forward to is writing grants. But I'm sure, you know, Lake County will be served so well by those skills of yours. Let's see, what, how are you navigating the world of COVID? I mean, you have to plan pretty far in the future. And of course, we all hope at some point we're going to be back in person. Right. How the heck do you plan that or not?
It's been tricky. It's been a good challenge, I'll say that. I like a good challenge.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge. So we did end up changing some of our classes. We have some fitness classes, yoga, for instance. Instead of being in person, was able to do that online. So there was a few classes we were able to convert into an online class, but we did have to drastically reduce our class offerings. So thinking ahead on how can we still promote or do a dual offering of in-person and online. So
yeah.
There's always going to be people that are just not going to be comfortable getting out and about, even if we're given the green light to do that. So just being able to reach out to as many people as possible. But I think moving forward right now, you know, Governor Walz at this point has allowed up to 250 people at an indoor event. So we're just kind of in the works and processes of planning, you know, preschool open houses. What are we going to be able to promote and do this summer? What things that we typically do, for instance, Lawn Church always runs that Summer Blue Arts Festival.
Right, yep.
3 weeks long, well, camp, I guess, not necessarily a festival, but and does an amazing production. And so things like that, that we're excited, oh, thank goodness, we are going to be able to move forward doing that. Also just still following all the precautions. We always follow all the CDC guidelines. But it's been tricky, and have to have some creativity, definitely, to continue offering program and how we're going to move that forward.
Yeah, it seems like the piece that will probably not be lost for a long time, or maybe hopefully never, is even when people are in person, there can often be options for people that would rather participate online for whatever reason. And I think that
right.
might just be the way it is from now on. Although some things, I think, it's kind of, you kind of have to be there in person, but not everything. And I know that there's a lot of people that have taken up yoga forever, now they have their online yoga class. So I bet that's one of
them. I know that I just happened to stop at the Lemon Wolf up in Beaver Bay on my way back and forth between Silver Bay and Two Harbors, and met the owner and started chatting about potential cooking classes that he would offer and how can we get that up and going this summer. And so whether we're in person or maybe partially in person, partially recording, being able to offer something like that, you know, before where you're kind of stuck inside the box and that everything needs to happen in person, I think it's really made you open up your mind and think outside of that box of, hey, you could actually reach a lot more potential customers and clients by offering dual ways, whether it's, you know, online or in person. So I am excited about that opportunity because it really opens it up and doesn't limit it to just, you know, the people that can physically get somewhere. I mean, it's endless potential at that point.
It is. And it also opens the I mean, if you do a virtual class or community ed, it doesn't matter whether you live in Two Harbors or Silver Bay. And if it's at night in the winter, you can still do it. And I mean, it does certainly open up opportunities for our future. Is there any classes in particular you want to highlight before we close out here, Krista?
We didn't have a spring brochure just because of everything going on with COVID. So our next brochure will be coming out in mailboxes the beginning of May. Some of you may have noticed it's no longer the good news. It's called the Ripple. A little bit of change to the advertising, but all of hopefully the same good classes that you saw last summer will be able to be in there. And we're currently just working on what classes to offer. We're going to be offering a preschool summer academy and helping some of those kids. We did have to close our preschool for 6 weeks. Mm. So trying to offer something to help those families get back on track and ready for next school year. I know we've had some discussions about not necessarily this summer, but maybe next winter, some private swim lessons and how to utilize the pool better. But really at this point, I am searching for people that are wanting to share talents, willing to teach whatever great talents and hobbies that they can offer to our community. I am in search of those people. So if there's anyone out there that is interested, knows how to crochet, watercolor, make pottery, anything you can think of, I am all ears and ready to have some great discussions.
Wonderful. And the phone number of Community Ed, you call 834-8021 or 8201. Better get that right. And then I believe it's extension 3.
You know, I'm not sure. I know it's 834-8201.
And then follow the prompts.
And then my extension is 8227 for Two Harbors.
Okay, wonderful. So you're at 8227. And I'm sure you can always leave you a message. And you're very accessible. So thank you so much, Krista. This has been great. And I'm sure we'll have you on again. You take care.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, bye-bye. That was Krista Olson, the new or not so new anymore director of community ed in Lake County. It's 9:17. In just a few minutes, Kenny Blumenfeld will be on with weather tidbits. You're listening to What's Happening on KTWH. As promised, Kenny Blumenfeld is with us here in the station. He's actually calling in from Grand Marais this morning. Thanks for calling in, Kenny.
Well, very good to be here.
Yeah.
And welcome back. Welcome back to you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, here we are in a bit of a melt. I don't know. You came to Grand Marais maybe hoping for some winter, and you're getting some spring. But sure is beautiful out there.
Yeah, we were kind of hoping to, you know, sample some of that nice powdery snow. Ain't happening.
And I tell you what, since we talked 2 weeks ago, it's been almost continual warmth, I think. We have gotten a couple little snow bits. And I know you talked with Leo last week about a possible storm, but I don't know. What's happening now a week later?
Yeah, it's pretty blasé. Again, you know, the big question had been, and still kind of is, you know, what of that 2 weeks Arctic blast? I mean, it's kind of an unusual event if it just occurs in the middle of a really mild winter, and then that's it. If it's just this sort of isolated, almost island of cold, you know,
yeah,
in a sea of time, is this island of cold, and we're, you know, it's just, it would be strange, because the way that the climate usually dishes out things to us, I would say, is typically that we would get, you know, you get into a pattern. It's cold, and then, it, you know, kind of stays cold for a while. And we talked about some of the kind of physical reasons. If we just snap back to our mild winter conditions and never, and that's it, it'll almost be like this faint memory. And
right.
We'll be wondering, did this even happen? Did it even happen? And it happened with no fanfare. There was no snow.
Right.
I mean, Minnesota got virtually no snow during the cold snap. There were these little powdery, you know, 8/10 of an inch accumulations that would occur, you know, in between the coldest days. And then that was it. So, there have been overtures on the weather models for weeks, suggesting like, oh, we're about to get really active. And, you know, I'm a sucker for these things.
Yeah, you want to see that. You're just, all you're doing is looking for confirmation, and then it just keeps not materializing.
You got it right. I mean, this is why I went into climatology and not forecasting, because as a weather forecaster, I would be constantly disappointing myself and my audiences all the time. I mean, you know, truthfully, forecasting is hard, and the Weather Service has the same struggles, because things look real and we don't have other information than what the models are providing. There is no crystal ball, and there is no, you know, there's no thing where we look at the models and then some other piece of information says, yeah, but this is what's really going to happen.
Right.
So all we have is what the models suggest. And for whatever reason, we've been in this sort of pattern in the models where it looks like we're about to turn the corner and get really active and snowy. There's always, you know, 8 to 14 days out, there's always this big snowstorm on the horizon. It's been there. It's been sitting there 8 to 14 days away for the last 8 weeks.
Hmm.
I just haven't seen it. I think, you know, there's a chance of, in southern Minnesota, some accumulating snow later this weekend on Sunday, you know, in the kind of 2 to 4, maybe 3 to 6 inch range. And even that's a little bit iffy.
Hmm.
But we haven't seen anything on the sort of statewide level that's really convincing us, you know, that's made it inside of that 7-day window where it starts to look real.
Right.
Haven't seen that. And some of the models suggest that we're just going to stay kind of mild, and that the next big system, now some of the systems that are showing up on the models that are 9, 10, 11 days away, they're all wet.
Hmm. Yeah, well,
I'm looking for some snows.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that has been consistent through the warm and the cold is just not a lot of precipitation. And I don't know, it just, like you said, there's this kind of a blip of fierce cold. And other than that, you know, just nothing that's quite satisfies for the snow lovers. I mean, we do get snow in late March and April, so I'm sure we can't discard it out of hand at this point.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the last 3 years, so 18, 19, and 20, Minnesota saw fairly major snowstorms in April, mid-April, each of those years. 2018 was kind of incredibly active, and 2019 was nothing to sneeze at, and I think we had a couple different April snowstorms last year, too. Now, so, yeah, and, you know, March used to be, it's not anymore, but it used to be Minnesota's snowiest month. Mm. And it's been a while since March put on a good show, and, you know, maybe this is the year for it. But I'm just going to say that, you know, after 2 months of kind of speculating that we were about to turn snowy and stormy, I have to admit that there's no real evidence that change is coming. I mean, it certainly could.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see any evidence. And in fact, right now the evidence is pointing towards what I had said, that this cold event was really an island in a very mild winter. We're back into the mild pattern, and that we're going to eat away at our snowpack. I don't like saying this. It's just that's where everything's pointing. I mean, the Weather Service is talking about, you know, the spring flooding looks really tame because the snow's already coming off the land. And there's no evidence of any new snow piling on top of it. So even if we do get into a snowy pattern, the chance of having, you know, 6 inches of water sitting on the landscape before the big melt, that seems to be decreasing. But as you said, you know, March can have tricks up its sleeve for sure.
Well, it's good news for the people who live in flood zones anyway, and also for people who are probably itching to get their starter seeds out in the ground in their hoop houses. And I mean, I guess one issue with a lack of snowpack would be a dry, like if we don't get the rain, then we're looking at a pretty dry early beginning of the farming season. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. So Minnesota right now is in what I would consider to be, I mean, pre-drought conditions to drought conditions along the edges, meaning we're in official kind of moderate drought, which is the lowest level of official drought in southwestern and western and parts of far northern Minnesota. And then the rest of the state, like the entirety of the state, is in something called abnormally dry conditions. This is a designation on the drought monitor. And you can think of it as pre-drought.
Mm-hmm.
It's not dry enough that we're in serious water stress or anything like that, but some of the pieces are certainly in place where if we then get into a prolonged dry spell during the growing season, when, as everyone knows, you start losing water much faster because of stronger sunlight, longer days, higher temperatures, and especially before green up when you don't have that boosted humidity from all the vegetation, then you can get into some trouble there. So we are certainly, you know, on one hand, I know that people who do a lot of gardening and all the farmers have been really happy that they don't have to worry about too much water right now for the, you know, second year after a very, very wet decade. They're pretty happy about that. But I think there are some concerns about, you know, how much water is going to be available to help things grow.
Yeah.
As we're running large, long-term precipitation deficits. So, it would be nice to get at least normal precipitation so we can kind of keep pace.
Yeah.
We don't want too much. We don't want sopped out, you know, soaking wet fields that are, you know, have standing water in them. But I think if we maintain these sorts of deficits and then they continue as you get into April and May, then you really get into escalating drought conditions, which I don't think anyone wants to see that.
Yeah. Now, are there any, I mean, usually there are, maybe they're not, it's harder to predict, but like wet spring, dry spring, wet summer, hot summer, cold summer, are there long-term projections like those out there?
There are. I mean, you know, the Climate Prediction Center is always happy to tell you what it thinks is going to happen in the next 30 to 90. And they actually make forecasts that go out over a year.
Yeah.
But their credibility kind of drops off over time. But the official forecast for, say, the next 3 months for northeast Minnesota is, and so that would be March, April, and May, sort of an equal chance of being warm or cool. I'm actually skeptical about that. I think that you know, there's been a tendency, if you're not already in a really cold, wet pattern by March, then the tendency has been for warm springs. But these are the pros. They're saying no sign either way. It could be warm, could be cool, but wetter than normal is what they're showing for on their forecast maps for the Arrowhead. Two categories in. So I don't know if you've seen these maps.
Yeah, yeah.
Graded oranges and greens and browns and blues.
Yep.
And they are, you know, you're in the second shade of green in the entire Arrowhead for the precipitation, which would be, you know, better than 40% chance of being above normal. And you sort of split it out into thirds.
Mm-hmm.
I would take it all with a grain of salt. I don't think the long-term prognostications have been really decisive one way or the other. I think there's some evidence from having a dry winter that we could have a dry, hot summer. And there's also evidence that, you know, the climate is always decoupled and changes once you get, you know, once you sort of get past the spring equinox, there's usually a pretty big change in the circulation and you kind of flip, and we could easily flip into an active and wet pattern. And it's very hard to know which one is going to happen. And that's just being honest about the way these things play out.
Great. Well, your honesty is always appreciated. And we promise not to hurt you, the messenger, whenever, if we get tempted. Thank you so much, Kenny. And we'll talk to you again next week, I hope.
Yeah, good talking with you. Have a great weekend and, you know, enjoy whatever it is.
You as well. All right. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist at the Minnesota DNR. That wraps up what's happening here on KTWH. Thanks for listening.